Bet365 sponsors our podcast and features over 300,000 sporting events on their betting app. It's got everything you'll ever need to bet on sport. It's the League Cup final this weekend as Man City take on Aston Villa at Wembley. Will City win the trophy for the third year in a row, or can Grealish inspire Villa to a famous upset? With Bet365 Bet Builder, you can combine match results, players to score, number of goals and more to build your own personalised bet. Bet365 is the world's favourite online sport betting company. The app can be downloaded from Google Play and Apple App Store. Over 18s only, please gamble responsibly. Hi folks, welcome to another episode of the 59th Minute FPL Podcast brought to you by The Athletic. I'm Mark McGettigan, better known these days as FPL General, recording on Tuesday morning, the 25th of February. Game week 27 is in the books, and I'll be looking ahead to game week 28, which is coming up this weekend. It's worth noting, it's a Friday deadline this week, so don't get caught out by that one. Set a reminder in your phone, stick a post-it note on the work computer for Friday not to get caught out by the early deadline. We've also got Champions League and Europa League games during the week, so be patient with your transfers this week. It's a good week to wait until Friday if you can before pulling the trigger. Chelsea, Manchester City are in action in the Champions League, and Wolves, Arsenal and Manchester United have those second legs on Thursday night as well. This week's show, usual format, I'll start with the shoutouts, then I'll review how my wildcard has done in its first week. I'll update the watch list, take a few questions from Twitter, and I'll finish off by talking about Game Week 28 captaincy and potential transfers. Welcome to the 59th Minute Club, Alex Iwobi. He's the only player in Game Week 27 who managed the dreaded 59 minutes to get himself one FPL point. So welcome to the club, Alex. A notable mention here as well for Manchester City's Aymeric Laporte, who managed just 57 minutes. So he missed out on the clean sheet by 3 minutes there. So very frustrating for anyone who owns Laporte. Moving on to the review of the wildcard. How did my wildcard do in its first week in Game Week 27? It was a rare one. I actually got a green arrow on the first week of a wildcard, you know, in the past, and I've seen a lot of people this season as well. Usually what happens when you activate that wildcard is your previous team does really well and your new wildcard troops take a little while to get going. But thankfully for me, it was a good one. Very happy with how it's panned out so far. It is only one game week, so I can't call it a success until probably the end of the season when I look back on it. I managed to get 65 points, so well above the average. That gave me my third green arrow in a row, so I'm moving in the right direction. Over the last three game weeks, I've gone from 285k overall, and I'm sitting now at 110k. So before Mane scored his goal last night, I was looking at breaking into the top 100k, but Manny had to ruin the party, as he usually does, like he did with my triple captaincy chip a couple of weeks ago. But overall, very happy. Sitting at 110k now, you know, 11 game weeks to go. 50k was my target. Hopefully I can even push on a little bit further than that now. Still have the free hit chip to go as well. So players who did well for me, Nick Pope, who came back in. You know, I probably made a mistake getting rid of him on my first wildcard, which was in Game Week 20. So it was good to get him back. Got me 9 points. Very fortunate 9 points. You couldn't believe it. Bournemouth managed to put the ball in the back of the net twice, and Nick Pope still managed to come out with 9 points. So very, very fortunate to get the clean sheet there. Thank you, VAR. Matt Doherty, the player I was most excited about owning on my wildcard as a differential, straight away comes in with 10 points, and it could have been even more. Watching the highlights, he had a very good chance right at the end. So, but again, I'm not going to moan about 10 points there. Trent Alexander-Arnold, 10 points again. Hasn't blanked since game week 16. You know, people talk about Lord Lundstrom. You know, Trent Alexander-Arnold has been phenomenal this season. Robertson, I decided to go for Robertson over Mane on the wild card. It was good to see him get the assist. Of course, once I go double Liverpool defence, the clean sheets disappear. But overall, very happy with the assist from Robertson. And going forward, you know, I think he should bring in plenty of points for me there. Midfield was disappointing, apart from the Salah captaincy getting me 14 points. De Bruyne just 3, Grealish just 1, and Traore just 1 as well. So there'll be questions on Grealish and Traore later, so I'll come back to those two guys. Up front, Jimenez got a goal. Disappointing to see him get the yellow card. Calvert-Lewin, I was glad I held on to him over Vardy. Got me 6 points. Could have been a lot more in that game as well. A lot of chances for Calvert-Lewin. So he's quickly becoming one of my favourite FPL players is DCL. So happy to have him. Hopefully he can continue to score those goals over the next couple of weeks. Danny Ings, disappointing, just 2 points. But overall, very happy with the first week of the wild card, and hopefully more of the same in Game Week 28. A watchlist update now. So a couple of players I've added to the watchlist following Game Week 27 and a few that I've removed. I'll start with the positives first. So Reece James, 5.0 million Chelsea defender. Chelsea were very good against Spurs. Unlucky not to get the clean sheet there because Spurs never really looked like scoring in that game. Reece James has started 6 of the last 7 games now, and Chelsea have very nice fixtures coming up. So I think a lot of people will start looking back towards Chelsea now, when a lot of us had maybe 2 or 3 Chelsea players early in the season and they've dropped off from our teams now. But with those fixtures and with that, you know, positive performance against Spurs, I think a lot of people will be interested. Lampard played with wing-backs. We played with James and Marcus Alonso, FPL legend Marcus Alonso, getting on the score sheet and hitting the crossbar as well. It's not clear whether he'll stick with that system. So Alonso, it's probably too early to go there. He could easily find himself back on the bench with a tactical switch in the next game. But Reece James looks good. Whether they play, 4 at the back or 5 at the back, he has been starting games. He's only 5 million. Excellent delivery from open play and from set pieces as well. So I really like this guy. It might be next season before he makes it into my team. But if you're looking for a defender, a differential, I think James is definitely an option now. Another defender added to the watch list this week, Harry Maguire. I hadn't realised he had dropped right down to 5.2 million. So he's gone from 5.5 to 5.2. So 5.2, it's not a lot. 3 clean sheets in a row now for Manchester United. And Maguire, of course, got that goal against Chelsea. The only issue is fixtures here for Manchester United. We've got Everton, Manchester City and Tottenham in the next 3 games. But after that, it's a very nice run right up until Game 38. I think we've got Leicester in Game 38. But right up until that, it's a very nice run. So I think, like Chelsea, Manchester United assets are going to become popular again. And if I was going for a defender, I think Maguire is the one I'd go for, given that price tag and his goal threat. And we're looking good defensively now as well. Another defender, another FPL legend, Patrick Van Aanholt, 5.5 million at Crystal Palace. Scored himself 15 points in the 1-0 win over Newcastle at the weekend. Now, PVA, over the years, he's got a habit of doing very well in the second half of the season. So could we see him, get a few more goals and assists before the end of the season? It's definitely a possibility. He's been taking set pieces and he's been taking corners. I think Milivojevic wasn't playing at the weekend, so that probably, played a big part in his 15-pointer. He's probably taken more set pieces than he usually would be. But even before that, even with Milivojevic on the pitch, Van Aanholt has been taking corners as well on the odd free kick. So he's an attractive option. Obviously, 5.5 million, it's a tricky price for a Crystal Palace defender. But, he does have that attacking threat. And again, like Reece James, he's differential. He's only owned by 4.6% of managers. Another defender now. Well, he's a defender in the Premier League at the moment, but he's a midfielder in FPL. Arsenal's Bukayo Saka. He's only 4.5 million. Came off the bench for the injured Kolasinac to get himself 7 points. A really good assist for Nketiah's goal. Great cross, great finish. He's got 3 assists in his last 5 games. And with that Kolasinac injury, which looked a serious one, it looked to be a shoulder or a collarbone or something like that, which is probably going to keep him out for a while. That should see Saka, back in the starting 11 and playing most weeks. Been really impressed with this guy over the last, 10 game weeks. He's a real talent, and, going forward, he's got great delivery and he can even get himself on the score sheet as well. So it's a shame he's not listed as a defender in FPL, because I think if he was, he would be in a lot of teams for the next few weeks. Obviously, Arsenal have a blank in Game Week 28 as well, so now is not the time to bring him in just yet. But after that, if you're looking for, if you're in a 3-4-3 formation or a 4-3-3 formation and you're looking for a 4.5 million midfielder for your bench, this guy Saka is as good as anyone now. Another midfielder now, Mason Mount, the forgotten man of FPL, very popular early in the season, 6.1 million. As I mentioned with Reece James, Chelsea have a good run of fixtures coming up. They've got Bournemouth, Everton, Aston Villa in their next three before they play Manchester City, which is followed by West Ham. So a nice run. I think Chelsea could finish the season strongly, judging on that performance against Spurs at the weekend. So Mason Mount is back on my watch list. He hasn't been on it for quite a while now, but I think a lot of people will be looking for Grealish replacements. A lot of people will be getting impatient with Traore as well. I definitely think this guy, Mason Mount, is worth looking at. He, as I said, he's looked much better in the last couple of games I've watched. He's probably been unlucky not to get attacking returns in those. He has six blanks in his last seven games. So looking at that, you're probably going to say it's not great, but I'm more interested in what he's going to do in the future rather than what he's done over the last couple of weeks. And the signs of improvement are there for Chelsea and for Mason Mount. Lampard praised him as well, which is always something I like to see. You know, that was one of the things I like most about Calvert-Lewin this season, is how much Ancelotti has been praising him since he's come into the club. And that played a part in me keeping him on my wildcard. So that is five players added to the watch list this week. A couple of players I've removed now. Tottenham's Bergwijn and Dele Alli. So Alli was benched, so that completely rules him out of my thinking. Bergwijn, Spurs just look really toothless against Chelsea. As I said, you know, they did score, but they never really looked like scoring. It took that wicked deflection to get them on the score sheet. So for me, you know, with Son and Kane out, I've got zero interest in Spurs attackers. Watching them defend these days as well, I've got no interest. You know, Aurier was on the watch list a couple of weeks ago, but again, you know, he was benched alongside Dele Alli at the weekend. So again, I don't think we can go there. Tammy Abraham is gone from the watch list as well. He's had a lot of injury niggles. Giroud started and got himself on the score sheet, so he's got competition there now. We could see Lampard stick with Giroud after that good performance. And, you know, even before that, all season, Tammy's been taken off after 70 or 80 minutes, which I don't like. You know, I want my players to play 90. So Abraham is not in my thoughts anymore. Neither is Sergio Aguero. So he's got a blank in game week 28. Of course, so now is not the time to go there anyway. I think it's a good time to probably sell him if you have him. Last three game weeks, 2 points, 2 points, and 0 points. Another missed penalty. You know, when is Kevin De Bruyne going to start taking these penalties? Hopefully it will be soon for us owners. Aguero, there's always the rotation worries with Champions League and Gabriel Jesus there as well competing for his spot. So Aguero is gone from the watch list. There is only one premium striker left on my watch list now. That is Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. So if I was going to, you know, I'm very happy with my cheap strike force of Jimenez, Ings and Calvert-Lewin. If at any point in the future I was going to shake it up and go for a premium striker, I think Arsenal's Aubameyang is the one I would be going for. Ever since I put that tweet out about him, you know, playing very well as a left back a couple of weeks ago, he's been banging in the goals. He's just a top class striker, doesn't need many chances on penalties. And Arsenal have good fixtures as well after that blank in game week 28. Before we move on, I want to take a moment to tell you more about the great things going on at The Athletic. The Athletic is home to 400 of the best sports writers out there, covering every major team in every major league in the US, Canada and the UK. Personally, I found The Athletic really helpful for managing my FPL this season. In particular, Michael Cox and his tactical pieces. You know, when I think of Michael Cox on The Athletic, you know, I've always been a big fan of him. I read his book, The Mixer, a couple of years ago. So it's great to get his insight on a weekly basis now on The Athletic. There's one article in particular that comes to mind. It was way back in August after Liverpool played against Arsenal and Trent Alexander-Arnold ran riot. And Michael did a great article after that game about how TAA is reinventing the English definition of a fullback. And that's one of the main reasons why he's been in my, you know, after reading that article, he was locked in my team as a season keeper, if he wasn't already. And he's probably one of the few players, once we get to game week 38, he's probably going to still be there right from game week one. So really good insight there from Michael Cox. Personally, he's my favourite. The good thing about The Athletic as well is you can customise and choose the teams and leagues you follow. So you can create your own personal sports page. So you can filter out the teams you're not interested in and the leagues as well. So you've got a nice feed there, easy to read through on a daily basis. Simply put, we have the best sports newsroom on the planet, but you don't have to take my word for it. You can see for yourself by signing up for a free trial. Head to theathletic.com/FPL pod to save 40% on an annual subscription. That works out at $3 a month for total access to some of the best sports coverage in the world. What are you waiting for? That's theathletic.com/FPL pod. And I guarantee you, it will help you with your FPL management for the rest of the season and into next season as well. Time for some Twitter questions now. Thanks as always to everyone who sent them in. You can do so each Monday on my Twitter account at FPL General. First one came in from Duncan Hadland. Duncan says, Grealish is a baller and passes the eye test. Even so, is it time to sell him? So yeah, Grealish is a player I kept on my wildcard because he was performing very well for me, and he always passes the eye test, as Duncan says here. Now, the issue is he plays for Aston Villa. Now, do I regret keeping him? It's probably easy to say that now after he blanked against Southampton. That was one of the main reasons I kept him, was that Southampton fixture, because Southampton were really poor in the previous game against Burnley. So I fancied Grealish to get something against Southampton. Obviously now he hasn't, and now he's got a blank game week 28. So for me, I'm not looking to make any transfers this week, which I'll talk about again later. So for me, I'm just going to keep him. After blank game week 28, Grealish has Leicester, Chelsea, Newcastle and Wolves. So it's a pretty tricky run of games there for Aston Villa. So I think anyone who is looking to make a transfer this week, I think it's absolutely fine to sell Jack Grealish now, given that he obviously doesn't play this weekend and then he's got a tough run of games coming up. So I don't feel great about Grealish now. There's probably a good chance he may not survive too long in my squad. He'll probably get another game or two for me after the blank. And, you know, if he continues to blank in those ones, he'll probably very quickly leave my side. You know, top class player. But the issue is, you know, the players he's playing with in that Aston Villa team. So for me, he's a hold, but that's only because I had planned to bank my transfer this week, regardless of what happened. So for me, if you have him and you've got no other issues, I think it's fine. It's fine to sell Grealish now. Question from Holly at FF Community. Is it time to ditch Kevin De Bruyne? Now, every time this season I've considered selling De Bruyne, I think it was twice, just before that Arsenal game earlier in the season, and he absolutely smashed it. And a couple of weeks ago as well, I was, you know, just starting to think about selling him on my wildcard, and he did exactly the same. I think he got 14 points recently. So for me, like Alexander-Arnold, KDB is a season keeper for the moment. You know, I'd never rule out in the future getting rid of him. But for me, himself and Jack Grealish are going to be, I'm just going to bench them this week. And then afterwards, Manchester City have the derby. Then it's Burnley, Chelsea and Liverpool. So the fixtures are tricky for City. But, you know, City are a team that when it comes to fixtures and fixture tickers, I don't really read into it too much, because City can score, you know, three or four goals against any team on their day. And De Bruyne has been their standout player this season. He's the one who starts every game as well. So rotation hasn't been an issue to this point. It obviously could be in the near future. But for me, I think, quite simply, he's the best player in the league, in my opinion. So I want him in my FPL team. And he was cheap as well. You know, I probably got him at around, can't remember, but a lot cheaper than what he costs now. So if I get rid of him now and want to get him back in a couple of weeks' time, it's going to cost me a lot more. There is still that slight chance of a double game week in 29 for Manchester City. So again, that's another reason. Be very patient with your transfers this week. Don't make them until Friday if you can. Because if that's going to happen, we should know, as far as I know, we should know by Friday if Manchester City are going to have two games in game week 29. So if that happens, obviously you're going to want to keep De Bruyne then. The same might go for the likes of Aguero if you're thinking about selling them. So hold off as long as you can this week before making your moves. Question from FPL Teach Mode. Aubameyang out for Vardy. Been my planned move for a while, but Aubameyang's form has me wavering. So Teach Mode is in the same scenario, I think, as a lot of people this week. A lot of people were eyeing up that Aubameyang to Vardy move this week, because obviously Aubameyang doesn't play and Vardy has Norwich away. Now, for me, if I owned Aubameyang, it would be quite simple. I would be keeping him. I would just bench him this week if you can get, you know, 10 or 11 players out. Because of those fixtures afterwards, you know, he's got the form and he's got the fixtures. You know, game week 29, he's got West Ham at home. Then he's got Brighton away, Southampton away and Norwich at home. You know, it doesn't get much better in terms of fixtures there. Arsenal are looking good under Mikel Arteta. Aubameyang is, he's scoring the goals, even though he's not getting many chances. You know, imagine how many goals he'll score if, you know, he starts getting even more chances. So for me, it's an easy one. I would definitely keep Aubameyang if I owned him, even though he doesn't play this week. Just hold him through the blank, and then you've got that really nice run of fixtures where you can, you know, I've always said I would never be comfortable giving Aubameyang the armband, but, you know, the more the weeks pass by, probably the easier it is to do so, especially in a fixture like home to West Ham in game week 29. So for me, Aubameyang is a keep. You know, quite simply, Aubameyang versus Vardy, you've got a player in form versus a player who is out of form. You know, if you really want to get Vardy, I would try and get him maybe alongside Aubameyang rather than at the expense of him. So quite simply for me, yeah, Aubameyang is a hold now. Question from John Hyde. Will Harvey Barnes start against lesser opposition? So I think a lot of people, including myself, were surprised to see Harvey Barnes benched against Manchester City. But I think that is why. It was the fact it was against Manchester City. It was just a tactical shift from Brendan Rodgers, you know, playing five at the back and getting Iheanacho into the starting 11 there as well. So I fully expect to see Barnes back in the starting 11 against Norwich on Friday night. He will be in my team, so hopefully he will do well. I think it was a good sign that Barnes came on at half time as well. You know, it wasn't Perez who came on, it was Harvey Barnes. So that tells me that Perez is the favoured option there when it comes to the Leicester wingers. So yeah, I think Barnes will start against Norwich, and I think he will start, you know, for the next couple of weeks as well. I think he's been one of Leicester's best players this season, so there's no reason for Rodgers to start, you know, using him from the bench. Question from David O'Flaherty. What to do with Traore? A lot of people asking this question. You know, obviously Traore and Barnes were two players I brought in on my wildcard squad last week, and both of them were on the bench in Game Week 27. I fully expect to see both of them start in Game Week 28 though. Traore obviously he's had a lot of injury niggles this season. I mean, the guy's shoulder pops out every second game, so it's no surprise to see Nuno manage his fitness. Europa League's a big one this week for Wolves. Obviously, they won the first leg 4-0. So I'm hoping that the likes of Jimenez, Traore and Matt Doherty don't even feature in that game. I think some of them probably will. I don't think he'll completely change it up in that one. But I'll be hoping that Traore doesn't play 90 in that one. Hopefully he doesn't play at all. If he doesn't play at all, I think he's probably nailed on to start against Spurs then at the weekend. And even if he does play, you know, if it's from the bench or if it's 60, 70 minutes again, I would be quite confident that Traore will play against Spurs. You know, we've seen it in the big games this season that, you know, that's often when he does his most damage. I think Nuno will want to use him against that Spurs defence. So for me, I'm confident that he will start against Spurs. I can understand if people want to get rid of him because it is a headache. You know, it is a worry. Is he going to play each week? Is he not? Obviously, Jota played really well again in that new, you know, it was more of a 3-5-2 system, which obviously forced Traore to stay on the bench. So, yeah, for me, I'm confident that he'll play against Spurs, but all eyes will be on that Europa League game on Thursday night. You know, hopefully he doesn't play 90 minutes. That is the long and short of it. But again, like Grealish, if you've got no other issues and you don't like the headache of Traore, is he going to start, is he not? I think selling him is fine as well. You know, it gives yourself an opportunity maybe to get a differential in there in that midfield spot to go against the template. Question from Oliver Davies. Oliver's asking, should he free hit in game week 31 or in a double game week later? So this is a common question most weeks. Just to cover it again and give you some of my thoughts on it. For me, I want to keep my free hit chip for a double game week rather than using it in game week 31. So game week 31 is shaping up to be, you know, there might only be 3, 4, 5 fixtures that week. So, you know, if we don't use our free hit chip, we'll be forced to either take points hits to get to 11 players, or we can just, you know, play with 6 or 7 players in what's going to be, you know, probably a very low scoring game week anyway, if there's only a few fixtures. And it depends on what fixtures those are as well. I mean, if Liverpool are not in that, you know, it's going to be pretty rubbish fixtures. You know, you're not expecting many points from any FPL players that game week. So for me, that's my approach. I'm going to, at the moment, I've got 3 Wolves players and I've got Nick Pope. So I've got 4 players for game week 31 as it stands. If Liverpool play, I'll have 7. So I'll be in pretty good shape then. But even so, even if Liverpool don't play, I'm just going to ride it out, you know, whatever happens. And I just feel free hit will be more powerful in a double game week later. You know, you can cherry pick which players you want, which 11 players you want, who will play twice in the double game week. So you give yourself 22 players. So I would rather do that than, you know, be bringing in players that, you know, from rubbish fixtures in game week 31. I'll finish up by covering game week 27 captaincy and just briefly mention transfer plans for myself. Captaincy, it's a tricky one this week. The fixtures, there's no real standout home fixture for a strong captaincy option. So for me, I think I'll be sticking with Mohamed Salah. He done well last night in Game Week 27, so I'll probably stick with him for Watford away. Watford conceded 3 goals against Manchester United. I think that is a good sign for the likes of Salah and Mane in Game Week 28. If you've got Mane, he's always an option as well. If you've got both, you've got a tricky decision, as you always do. Trent Alexander-Arnold has to be mentioned in captaincy now as well. I mean, as I mentioned, he hasn't blanked, I think, since Game Week 16. He's getting a minimum, really, of, you know, 5 or 6 points every week. And we know what he can do. You know, think back to that Leicester game where he got those 24 points. And even last night, you know, he had a couple of very good chances to find the back of the net as well to go along with those assists. So Trent, I wouldn't stop anyone from captain Trent at this point in time. Jamie Vardy, if you own him, away to Norwich, you would fancy him to do well in that fixture. You know, Norwich were poor again at the weekend. Obviously, they're the worst team in the league if you look at the Premier League table. So if you have Vardy, he's got to be consideration as well. But I mean, I find it hard to captain a player who hasn't scored for quite a while. So I would lean towards Mane or Salah in that case over Jamie Vardy. Apart from that, you know, Wolves play away at Spurs. Manchester United are away at Everton. So fixtures are not great for the captain's armband this week. I'm not going to overthink it. I'm just going to stick with Mohamed Salah for that Watford game. I think it was Watford that he got the record, wasn't it, a couple of seasons ago. I remember it fondly. I think it was St. Patrick's Day. He scored 4 goals and an assist against Watford. I can't remember if that was home or away, but hopefully something similar this weekend would be nice. You know, St. Patrick's Day is not far away either, so maybe there's something there. Salah, once St. Patrick's Day arrives, Salah goes big against Watford. In terms of my transfers for Game Week 28, I always like to bank a transfer the week after I play my wildcard. So that was always my plan. The way I set up my wildcard squad, I had De Bruyne and Jack Grealish, who have a blank this weekend, but I will be bringing in Harvey Barnes and Pereira, who were on my bench in Game Week 27. So they will start for me against Norwich. So I hope Pereira and Harvey Barnes combine like they did a couple of weeks ago for 2 goals. And I hope Jamie Vardy has a quiet one as someone who sold him on the wildcard squad. So we know what happens. Leicester will concede, Barnes won't play, and Vardy will score a hat-trick. That's it for this week's podcast. If you want to hear more content from me, more podcasts this week, if you want to join my Slack channel or have one-to-one WhatsApp chat, you can check all that out at patreon.com/FPLgeneral. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. I really do appreciate everyone who takes the time to do so. Enjoy the European games this week and good luck in Game Week 28. Don't miss that Friday deadline. I'll be back next week to preview Game Week 29. Good luck, everyone.